Open with me to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, we'll be thinking this evening about the office of elder. I've had more than one of you ask me if you had missed the preaching on the office of elder, because I believe that Elder Andy Leong announced that there would be some preaching on the office of elder, and that was probably about 6 months ago. And so, to answer your question, you did not miss it. We hope to spend maybe 3 or 4 weeks thinking about the office of elder. And then Pastor Reese is preaching through the book of Acts in the morning, and that will take us as well to the subject of eldership. So Exodus chapter 18, I'll begin reading in verse 13. God has brought his people out of Egypt, and in the first part of chapter 18, Jethro has been told of the great works of the Lord. And now in verses 13 and following, we see Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, giving him advice and counsel. And so let's give our careful attention to God's word. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God will be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the peoples at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great privilege of coming into your presence again this evening, of hearing your word read, of being able to sing your praises, and now being able to hear your word preached. And we know that it is your Spirit who will make this a powerful means to strengthen us as your people, to instruct us in your ways. And so we ask now that your Spirit would bless us, that he would give us ears to hear and minds to understand, And we pray that in all of this, that our Lord Jesus Christ would have the glory. We pray in His great name. Amen. Well, we want to think briefly this evening about the office of elder. And we want to begin by specifically thinking why this is an important office in the church. In a couple of months, we hope to hold an election with the aim of ordaining men to the office of ruling elder. Now, the importance of the office of ruling elder in recent years has been downplayed. I think many of us are aware that in much of the church today, the pastor is viewed as sort of a CEO figure. People think that he is the one who steers the ship and calls the shots. But the Bible puts forward a shared leadership in the church, a shared leadership in which the ruling elder plays a significant role. And I want to choose my words carefully here, but I think that even in our denomination, we have maybe unknowingly downplayed the office of ruling elder. In our denomination, we have rigorous requirements for the office of teaching elder, the office of pastor. A teaching elder must complete a 4-year undergraduate degree and then a 3-year master's degree at seminary, followed by 13 ordination exams. They are rigorous requirements and they are good and right. But yet, to my knowledge, as a denomination, we have no training program for ruling elders. And I say to my knowledge, and I'm looking at the two retired pastors among us to make sure that I'm correct on that, but as far as I know, we don't have any formal training program. Now, that's not to say that training doesn't happen at the local level, but nevertheless, there is no broader training program for elders. And yet, the ruling elder is just as important as the teaching elder. And so our aim this evening will be to introduce this subject by thinking about the importance of the office of ruling elder. The pastor in no way is a CEO of the church. He is a fellow elder, and the Lord has designed that his church be led by a plurality of men. And so you'll see you have an outline on the back of your bulletin, and we'll think about 6 reasons why this office of ruling elder is an important one in the church today. And first, we see that it is important because it is an ancient office. There are some in the church today who would claim that the office of ruling elder is a recent invention of men. But yet, when we look at the Bible, we see that it is not an innovation. It's not a recent invention of men. From ancient times, God's people have had elders among them. Now, we don't know exactly when the office of elder began, but all the way back at the beginning of the book of Exodus, Moses, after he met with God at the burning bush, was sent back to Egypt to lead the people out. And in Exodus 3:16, we read that God told Moses, "Go and gather the elders of Israel." And so at this very early point in the history of God's people, there were a group of men who were appointed as leaders and overseers. They were recognized as having authority over the people of God. We also saw it in the passage that we just read from in Exodus 18, where Moses' father-in-law appointed him to directed him to appoint able men to help him govern the people of God. It was to be a shared leadership. And so this office of elder is an ancient office, which tells us that it is important. It's not a new idea. For thousands and thousands of years, the people of God have had among them elders to direct them and guide them. And secondly, the office of elder is important because it is an office from God. In Acts 20:28, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He had been their pastor, but he is preparing to leave them. And he entrusts the congregation to their rule, and he makes a significant statement. He says to them, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood." Notice what Paul says there. He says to these elders, care for the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that's a solemn statement. It presents us with a high view of the office of ruling elder. The Holy Spirit appoints men to this office. Paul sees God himself involved in appointing elders to their office. And this gives us a theology or an understanding of our election process. We are Presbyterians, but your elders and even your pastors are not imposed on you from an outside body. You may nominate men and you may vote for men. But yet this verse tells us that God works through us to make his will known. In other words, when someone is elected to the office of pastor or ruling elder, we need to see the Spirit at work through that process, making his will known. In Titus 1, verse 5, again, it is Paul writing, but he is ultimately writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, appoint elders in every town as I have directed you. And so the eldership is a gift which God has been pleased to give to his church for our benefit and our well-being. Elders are sinful, fallible men, but yet God chose to govern his church through men such as these. And so we must not despise this office. We must not have a low view of it. It is an office from God. Thirdly, we see the importance of the office of elder in that it is a consecrated office. If something is consecrated, that means it is set apart for a special purpose. And we see that this office of elder is a consecrated office in the practice of the laying on of hands. Now, this is a very ancient practice with significance. When the Old Testament saints, for example, brought their animal for sacrifice, they would lay their hands on that animal. And that consecrated the animal. It was no longer an ordinary animal, but it was set apart. It was to be a substitute. By the laying on of hands, the worshiper was saying that this animal represents me and the death that I deserve for my sin. Moreover, when the Levites were appointed, they were appointed with the laying on of hands. When Joshua was appointed as the leader of God's people, he was set apart by the laying of hands on his head. And the laying on of hands was a sign of the Spirit equipping a person with the necessary gifts and graces for that office. And when we come to the New Testament, we see this practice continued in the ordination of elders. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, we read that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and again note the Holy Spirit's role in appointing elders, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so the laying on of hands was symbolic of that setting apart, that calling, and that sending of elders. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul writes to his young son in the faith, Timothy, who was suffering from a lack of confidence. He was anxious about the duties that lay ahead of him, and Paul encourages him by reminding him of his ordination. He says to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." And so when we ordain men to the office of elder, we lay our hands upon them, trusting that the Holy Spirit will consecrate them to this office, trusting that God will give them the gifts and graces that are necessary for their calling. Fourthly, the office of elder is important because it is an office with qualifications. I am not going to go through all of the qualifications tonight. We'll come back to that in a later study. But if we read 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, we see that God lists a number of qualifications for the office of ruling elder. And as we will see, no elder possesses these qualifications perfectly. But nevertheless, to one degree or another, those qualifications must be present in a man's life. And the fact that God has qualifications for this office shows its importance. If you were to interview for a job and you ask the interviewer what the qualifications for the job were, and they said, "Oh, there are no qualifications. Anybody could do this job," you would come away thinking, this must not be a very important job. If there are no qualifications, and if anyone can do it, then it must not be important. And yet in the Bible, God has qualifications for the office of elder, and it shows just how important it is. It's not an office for every man. There are qualifications for this office that a godly man, that a gifted man may not meet. And these qualifications show that it is an important office for the church. Fifthly, this office is important because it is an office with authority. There is a level of authority that is given to the elder. And some in the church today think of the elder the way that they would think of their state representative. A state representative is to find out the desires of his constituents and then represent the desires of those people to the government. And some people view elders in this way. They think that elders are there to make sure that their desires come to fruition in the church. They think that if they have complaints, that they can bring them to the elders and the elders will get things solved. Now, don't hear me wrong. Elders are servants. We are servants of the people of God. The very term ministry implies a service to God's people. But in the ultimate sense, the elder represents Christ to the people. The elder is the representative of Christ. And the elder is to bring the care and the leadership of Christ to you. Christ is the King and head of the church. As we heard read at the opening of our service, He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Chief Shepherd. And the elders are to faithfully exercise His rule and His care in the congregation. We see this authority in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Where Paul writes, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." And so there is a clear call to submit to the elders. They are described as people who are over us in the Lord. We see it as well in Hebrews 13:17, where we read, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." Now, this is a very unpopular idea in our culture of individualism. And yet, by God's design, He has ordained a level of authority for elders. And He has done so for the protection and the growth of His church. Have you ever thought that even your pastors are accountable to the ruling elders of this church? We don't just get to do whatever we please. We are accountable to them because they have a level of authority. Elders are accountable to one another. And there is a great mercy in this. For God knows that we tend to wander, and He gives us shepherd leaders who have the authority to call us back to Christ. Leaders who have the authority to correct us in doctrine or in life, that we might be protected. Peter, who was an apostle and a pastor, he was one of the great leaders of the New Testament church, and yet in 1 Peter 5:1, he calls himself a fellow elder. He doesn't say that he's the bishop or the pope or the leading apostle. He says, "I'm a fellow elder." He understood that he was accountable to the other elders with whom he served. And so there is great authority that comes with this office. Lastly, the office of elder is important because it's an office with accountability. The elder is accountable to God Himself. Hebrews 13:17. We read that elders keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And that is a sobering reality for anyone who is an elder now, or anyone who aspires to this office of elder. And for you men who are possibly sensing a call to this office of ruling elder, this is a burden that you will have to live with. Because the elder is entrusted with great authority, he will also be accountable to God Himself. But yet there is a positive side to this. In 1 Peter 5:4, Peter, speaking to elders, says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, when Christ appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." The chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Himself, will reward the faithful elder. And so it is a solemn thought. Elders are accountable to God, and it is a heavy burden to carry. But yet we carry it in Christ. We carry it by the power of His grace, by His Spirit's enabling. And so I would ask you, congregation, to commit to pray. Pray for your current elders. We know that we are sinful men, and we are constantly confronted with our inadequacy. We lack wisdom. We make mistakes. We know that we fail you. Pray that we would be able to carry out our duties in the strength and the power of the Lord, and that we would be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church. Pray also that the Lord would raise up men from among our midst to serve. Pray that the Lord would equip them with the necessary gifts and graces. Pray for our upcoming election, that it would reflect the will of Christ and His Spirit for the church. And pray that as a congregation, that we would place our trust firmly in the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves His church more than we ever could. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that our Savior is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. We know that He is the only one who loves and cares for His church perfectly. And so we pray that Your Spirit would work in us as a congregation. Lord, that You would cause us to seek Your wisdom. Lord, we pray for the men who are sensing a calling to this office of elder, and pray, Lord, that You would grant them wisdom and clarity. Lord, we pray for the current session, Lord, that You would give us grace to help in our time of need. Equip us with wisdom and discernment. And above all, may we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to His leadership. We pray all of this will be for the glory of Christ and the good of His church. We pray in His great name. Amen.